right. Dearly beloved, welcome to another episode of the Seven Slot Society podcast, the off-road lifestyle podcast that absolutely nobody asked for. Today, we are joined by the beardiest of Jeepers, Kyle Loring, a.k.a. the Bearded Jeeper. Welcome to the podcast, Kyle. Thank you so much for agreeing to this on a weeknight. Well, it's Friday, so it doesn't really matter. But
yeah, it's Friday. It's a weekend off, so we get to celebrate and sleep in tomorrow.
Hell yeah. So we have you on this podcast because you have a thing. Air quotes, you have a thing, you're known for something. What's your elevator pitch? Who is Kyle? Who is the Bearded Jeeper?
I like to say I make cinematic Jeep videos, and I know cinematic has kind of become a cliche word now, but
right.
I like to put higher quality in my wheeling videos specifically, and just higher quality overall into anything I put online.
Yeah, it's definitely, when you think about people that are doing, like, install videos and that sort of stuff, like, Jeep-related stuff, yours is definitely top-tier content, and you've been getting better. Since I started subscribing to your channel, you've been getting better and better and better, and I absolutely
love it.
Thank
you, sir.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit of YouTube real quick, and then we're going to get into, like, the meat and potatoes, the Jeep shit. So when did you start the YouTube channel? Because that's, like, that's your main thing, right?
Yeah, I think it was like almost 4 or 5 years ago now, but it was only recently that I really started putting in any real effort into it. I kind of had it in the background, and then the wife got me a GoPro for Christmas a couple years back. I brought it to a Jeep event, just kind of wandering around, waving it around, and made a couple videos, decided to put them on YouTube, and then I kept watching like Peter McKinnon and all these
got
other
sucked in
YouTubers, and I just wanted to do more and better, so kind of got sucked into the YouTube life.
Yeah, slippery slope. Okay, so enough YouTube bullshit for right now. Let's talk about some Jeep shit. So Jeep. What was your first Jeep experience? Very first.
Very first. I had a it was my parents' 1989 Jeep Cherokee.
Best
XJ.
Year ever, 89. Yeah.
Exactly, here too.
There you go.
Wait, what month?
September. You're so January,
I'm
right?
Older, yeah.
Yeah, I listened to that last podcast. I know when your birthday is.
Stalker.
Yeah, right? So an 89 Cherokee.
Yeah, I was learning how to drive, getting my license, and, my mom and I were just driving on the road, and we were on a back road, and she pulls off to the side of the road. I'm like, what are you doing? She throws me the keys, said, you're driving.
Nice.
And when I first started to drive, I actually kind of tended to go towards the breakdown lane, the ditch.
Yeah.
And now she jokes and says, now that's what I love to do. So it's kind of funny. Goes full circle.
Yeah. Was it stick?
Nope. Automatic.
Okay. How long did you guys have that one for?
We had that for, I don't know, like it was up until I got my Grand Cherokee, I was kind of tinkering on that.
Okay.
I had other cars in between because it became kind of a rust box, and it just wasn't.
What? An XJ? No.
Say it's not so.
A Grand Cherokee. I don't think I knew about this. So I was about to go into your JK, but let's back up a little bit and talk about this Grand.
Yeah, so I had the regular Cherokee, and then at work, one of my friends, she said, hey, I have a Cherokee for you. And I'm like, oh, cool, I can use it as parts or build on that one better. And she's like, you can have it for free. It's not running. Take it off my yard. I'm like, okay.
Nice.
I go and I look, and it's a Grand Cherokee, a 96 ZJ.
Okay.
And I get to looking at it, and I'm like, wow, this thing looks in really good shape. And we threw a new battery in it, turned the key, it started right up.
No shit.
So I ended up getting that for free. The only thing that was really wrong with it is, like, you couldn't shift it into four low or anything in the any four-wheel drive at all. And I couldn't figure out why, but then you started to look at the motor, and the motor was shifted a little bit, and one of the motor mounts was broken, and it was causing the four-wheel drive system to be just off just enough where it wouldn't line up.
Oh, damn.
Replace that, and then all of a sudden it would it worked just fine.
That's awesome. So did you just take it in the woods and beat it, or was it a daily driver?
It was a daily driver, and I beat it in the woods. That's kind of
that's your thing, isn't it?
That's what I do. Well, until now. Now I got a nice brand new shiny truck.
Yes, I heard. We'll get into that. Remind me to talk about that because I don't have that in my notes. So let's talk about this JK.
Yep.
You have kind of a memorable JK because it's the Islander edition.
Yep.
So yeah, when did you get that?
I think it's been 6 years ago now because I paid the thing off finally. Hallelujah.
Isn't that such a good feeling, dude?
It's the first vehicle that I've had a car loan on that I've officially paid off. So
yeah, right?
I was just like, you get the title in the mail and you're like, yes, this is great. I love it.
And then did you immediately think about selling it?
No.
No?
I wanted to keep this just because all of the pain it's brought me and all the things it's been through.
The YouTube fame it's brought you.
Yeah, I can't let it go. Not to mention, I don't think anyone would want it now where it's been beat and has a giant dent in the hood from getting dragged out of the woods when I
They know
my
what
axle.
You did to it.
Yeah. There's video proof of what I did to it. I can't say, oh, it was daily driven and it was really babied. I didn't do anything.
Never taken off-road. So did you buy it stock?
Yeah, I bought it stock. It was actually the same year I got married, mm-hmm. and not too long after, it was only like stock for a couple weeks, and then
What was the first thing you did?
2.5-inch AEV lift kit.
Oh, damn, AEV.
Poison Spider front bumper.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, and 35-inch MTR Kevlars.
Oh, you said, fuck it.
Yeah, I was like,
AEV,
I'm going
Poison
for it.
Spider, 35s.
Well, people told me, like, you're going to pay for what you get. This was my first Wrangler, so I was kind of new to the Wrangler game. And I just decided to AEV seemed like a really decent lift. And yeah. I liked AEV, but the only issue I personally had was it was almost too soft for my taste. I don't know if other people have had this issue, but it just seemed like you come off a ledge and the whole Jeep just swayed back and forth like crazy.
Too spongy.
Yeah, that's why now I'm on 3.5-inch rock crawler coils.
Okay, yeah, I've heard very little bad things about rock crawler. When I used to work at the shop, that was 90% of what we installed was rock crawler stuff. So going back, you said taking it out in the woods and beating it. You had a little mishap in April of 2018 with the
Ooh,
Dana
you
30.
Even got the date.
Yeah, I did research,
I'm impressed.
Dude.
You did your homework.
I went back and looked at your videos. So tell me that story from the beginning. Like, it started out as a normal wheeling day. No ticks, no pops, no weird noises.
Nope, nothing. So it was a trail we had done before, mm-hmm. and it was kind of hard, but it wasn't like a super difficult trail. It was pretty technical in spots. This was still, it was either, wait, when did you say it was in 2018?
April of 2018. April?
Yeah, so it was springtime because there was still a little bit of snow and mud and stuff on the ground.
I remember seeing that.
And you go through this one part of the trail where you can just kind of like cut out and head back, or you can take this other route. Mm-hmm. And it basically goes up a river for part of it. And oh, it was on Earth Day. I remember this too, because so I'm going up the trail and I hit a rock pretty hard. And the only thing I can think of is it was a pretty pointy rock.
Uh-huh.
And I hit it with some speed and I was getting stuck. I wasn't going anywhere. And then mm-hmm. I hooked up my winch and I was trying to pull up over it. And that's when my buddy came up to me and he's like, hey, you might want to get out and look at this. I was like, why? What'd I do? And he's like, you broke it pretty bad. And I get out and the whole axle tube is snapped completely in half. Like, that is the first time I've actually seen one of those snap in half. Like, yeah, axle shafts or something.
Right.
But, and this was when I was on 35s. I had been on 37s, got some 35s cheap because the 37s were completely spanked, and mm-hmm. Back on 35s, and it broke. So,
yeah,
I haven't seen
a break like that, dude. That was just impressive.
I don't know if it was a weak spot in the cast. It was right where I have the Synergy high steer bracket, the bolt-on one, and it has a U-bolt that goes right around the axle, and like right where that sits, it broke. So I don't know if I hit the rock hard enough to push that into it, or if it was rubbing for a while and I didn't notice, or...
Yeah. So now, at that point, you're sitting in the middle of a small river in April in Massachusetts?
No, this is in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. That's freezing cold. It had to be like 30, 40 degrees.
Yeah, but that was like warm. It was starting to warm up finally. It's like shorts weather.
As soon as it hits 40, take the shorts out.
Yeah. It's not
you
like
guys are crazy.
Yeah, well, it's funny. My wife went to school down in Long Island, and I'd go down to visit her, and it'd be like 40 degrees. It'd be like warm to us because we're used to even colder weather.
Right.
And they'd be bundled up in parkas. They'd be like, this is freezing, like the scarves, the mittens, the whole nine yards. And
right.
I'd be walking around in a T-shirt, and they'd think I'm crazy.
That is a little insane. So how did that recovery look?
Well, so we were kind of concerned as to how we were going to do this. We were all prepared to do an axle swap right out there in the woods, and it was kind of soupy and muddy where we were, so we weren't looking forward to it. We had one winch going up around a tree, kind of like a crane to pick the Jeep up, and another one holding it because it was kind of on a uneven slope,
right.
One holding it from flipping the other way, and we were lifted it up to see what the damage was done. And we were trying to see if we could just, like, kind of tie it together and limp it out of there. But
right.
There was
How far were you in the trail at that point?
Well, we were kind of near the end, but it's kind of a long way to get out. If you watch that video I have, you can see – well, before I get to that, I'll go into the recovery a little bit more, but
we will link this video in the show notes, by the way, podcast, if you're listening and you want to check it out.
Yeah, I wish I actually got, like, I wish I had my GoPro down there when it actually snapped, so I knew a little bit more what happened, really. But it was getting pretty late and getting a little chilly, and I had a stock Dana 30 axle housing at my house, which is an hour away. We were ready to do the axle swap. We had a buddy bring it up and set it on the beginning of the trail. We went up to get it. He even brought us McDonald's, which was pretty sweet.
Nice.
They were cold by the time we got there, the burgers.
Shit, better than nothing.
we were starving at that point. And so at that point, it was getting late enough where we're like, we're just going to leave the Jeep on the trail. Let's go home, get a couple hours rest, and come back. Mm-hmm. We maybe got 2.5-3 hours sleep, headed back out. One of the guy who runs Granite State Off-Road, Eric Alexander, he contacted Automotive Excess, and they have like an off-road tow truck, basically. It's this built-up Dodge truck with like a big boom arm on the back.
That thing is bitching.
It is one sweet rig. I mean, they beat the hell out of that on the trails too, but he was able to come in, scoop me right up, and just rip me right out of the woods.
Would he just pick you up by the front bumper and drag you out?
Yeah, he kind of picked me up. I can't remember if it was like, he was kind of like the front axle, like kind of put as much of the boom as he could underneath me, and because the back tires rolled fine, so he just kind of lifted
the front. What'd that cost you?
He actually didn't charge me for it.
Oh, wow.
He just did it out of the kindness of
Well, goddamn, give him another shout out. What's his name again?
It was I can't remember if it was Jeffrey or Steven, but from Automotive Excess.
Automotive Excess. Good job, guys.
Yeah, I thanked them. I shouted them out in the video because, like, I was so overwhelmed that they would come out, and I didn't have to do an axle swap in the mud in the middle of the woods. We were all set to do it, but I didn't want to do that.
This off-road community is just something else, man. So you got that back, you swapped the axle, everything was fine, nothing to report after that?
No, luckily I had that axle already. Guy who worked at the shop had some stock control arm takeoffs, because I'm still running stock control arms on that thing.
Okay.
Just put the new control arms in the front because they weren't bad, but they were a little tweaked and stuff. So
yeah, you're not easy on your Jeep. I've seen your videos.
Yeah, a couple people give me crap because I'm like, oh, this is a stock friendly trail, and I bring them on it. They're like, this is no way stock friendly. I'm like, it depends how you wheel.
Yeah, exactly. You're just banging your shit off of everything.
Yeah.
All right. So what's going on? I guess we can talk a little bit about the new tow rig now before we get into the XJ. So you are taking the JK off the road as full-time daily driver, correct?
Right.
Why? Yeah, what happened? What amazing, beautiful news is going on in your life that you're able to do that?
Well, work's going really well right now. We paid off my Jeep. The wife's Jeep is paid off in October.
That is amazing, dude. Congrats, man. That is so awesome.
We were doing good, and I wanted a more reliable rig that I could get back and forth to work on. Mm-hmm. Didn't have to worry about if I beat the Jeep in the woods, I can still drive something to work and not have to. There's nothing worse than Sunday afternoon. You're trying to get it back together, and you're just swearing and throwing shit at it, and they're like, I just want to be done with that.
Yeah, and then you have to make the call at, 7 o'clock Sunday night. Hey, dude, can you give me a ride to work?
Yeah, I feel like that friend a lot. I'm like, hey, so the Jeep's not done. I mean, lucky enough, my father-in-law also works at Ruger with me. And
oh, nice.
He lives, like, it's on his way to pick me up. So a lot of times he would give me a ride or one of the other guys that work with.
Was he cussing you out the whole time?
No, he enjoyed it. Gave him someone to talk to, and it worked out well. He's like, yeah, anytime you need a ride. I'm like, all right, well, it's going to be more often than you think.
Oh, too funny. All right, so you wanted something more dependable.
Yes.
Something you've wanted for a long time, probably.
Yes, this is definitely a dream truck of mine. I just picked up last Saturday, so I haven't even owned it a week yet. A 2011 Ford Raptor.
Nice. Woo! That's big ballin'.
6.2 liter V8.
There you go.
411 horsepower.
Hell yeah. Does she get a little squirrely?
Oh, she rides amazing. For as old of a truck as she is, it's a 9-year-old truck, and it still soaks up the bumps like nobody's business.
So awesome, dude.
It's unbelievably clean. People are like, that's not a 2011. I'm like, yeah, it is. It's in really good shape.
Especially where you live. Did it come from New Hampshire?
I think it originally came from Florida, but it had been up in Maine.
Okay.
But yeah, the frame is really, really clean. So good. I was super impressed, super lucky to find this in my price range. And 'cause they're still going anywhere from 20 grand to, I've seen them as high as like 45, 50 grand, depending on the mileage.
Ooh,
and this is a 10-year-old truck, 10-year-old truck, first gens. The first gens were from, they ended in 2014. I think they started in 2010 or something like that.
Okay.
So, yeah, but this truck is all decked out. And the reason I wanted to get it, too, is because I can't keep anything stock.
Right.
So I figured, well, this has enough already done to it that I can hopefully leave it alone.
Right.
And the wife told me I have to keep it alone stock for a year at least.
Oh, yeah. That's good motivation.
Yeah. So that was kind of the stipulation of me getting this rig. So,
yeah. So, and that'll be able to tow. I don't know dick about A, trucks, B, Fords, C, Raptors. That'll be enough to like tow a regular trailer in your, at least one of them.
They're not super great for towing because they have the softer suspension.
Right. I always thought they were like more racy truck than actually hauling big loads.
Well, it's funny. The original, when they were introducing the prototype, they entered it in the Baja 500 and it placed. So they're like, well, we're going to make this a truck.
Yeah.
And that's what the Ford Raptor became. It's kind of, it's like a Baja truck. So it's got the Fox dual reservoir super duper shocks.
Okay, cool.
And yeah, it's just a little softer. It's I have the Super Crew, which is the one with just like the little suicide door in back, not the full door.
Right.
That one only tows 6,000 pounds, and it's if you get the the full four door. It's the 8,000 pounds.
Okay.
But I figure if I get a light enough trailer, I mean, the Cherokee doesn't weigh that much. I shouldn't have any problem.
Yeah. Perfect segue into the XJ. So
yes, sir.
You have a, what year is it? A 2001?
2000.
2000. A white XJ, Project Zip Tie, as it's been dubbed.
Or is it a 99? I can't even remember what year it is now. It might be a 99.
It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. You're chopping it all to fuck anyway. So how did you get this one? Where did this one come from?
Well, I had one Jeep in the garage already. I had gotten for free.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, I traded like a subwoofer for it. But this was like a real beat to shit Jeep. Like it wasn't going to make it on the trails. It already had a lift in it. And like I tried.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I called it Project Shitbox.
Oh, I remember that now. I don't know why I thought they were the same thing.
No, that was the black one. And
oh, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right.
I ended up taking a few things off it, but it didn't end up... I was like, this is a lost cause.
Yeah, she was bad.
And I was looking for other vehicles for parts, and then one of our local members of our club was like, hey, I have a Jeep. If you want to get it off my yard, you can have it. It was on a trailer already.
Oh, shit.
So my father-in-law went down with me. We hooked it up to his truck. Sketchy ride because the trailer didn't have any trailer brakes or they weren't working. And the ball wasn't the right size for his hitch. So it was like every time we'd come to a stop, it would kind of slide a little and you'd feel the trailer come forward. But
Like towing with a panel hitch where it just bangs.
Yeah, we'd come to a light and you just hear bang. But we made that home and it didn't have the front axle underneath it. It was missing the front the radiator mount underneath there.
Uh-huh.
And we got it off the trailer, put an axle underneath it, and I didn't plan on doing as far as I was going to with this.
Isn't that everyone's story?
I mean, I knew I wanted eventually a Jeep on one-ton axles, but then I ended up getting such a good deal on a set of one-ton axles. Uh-huh. I think it was under $500, and the guy delivered them for me. He took them out of the rig and delivered them for me.
That's awesome.
And
what are they axles out of?
It's an 05 Ford Super Duty.
Nice.
So
that's awesome, man.
Yeah, the Goodyear, the bigger everything, so...
Yeah,
And the brakes and stuff are good enough where I can use them for now until I can mm-hmm. save up. So I got those. I have already bought the 40-inch Nitto trail grapplers for tires.
Crazy guy.
You can't see it behind me, but I got Battleborn beadlocks ready to go on.
I heard about that. That's awesome.
I got the Artec truss for the front. I got all the brackets for the rear. I'm going to stay leaf springs for now, leaf springs and coils.
Hell yeah, that's what I like to hear.
Because I'm still poor people at heart.
Hell yes, aren't we all? So at what point were you like, fuck it, I'm going to do one tons?
When I found that good deal on them.
Ah, okay.
Like,
were you just cruising Facebook?
Yeah, I was cruising Facebook and it was a Facebook Marketplace. You know how like late at night you're just kind of like scrolling through Facebook Marketplace and you're like, oh, what's that?
Exactly.
You just get lost in it and you buy stuff you don't need.
Yes.
Well, it was this guy at this like local like scrap yard he has. And I said, message me if you're looking for parts. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm looking for a set of 05 Ford Super Duty axles. And he's like, I think we got one of those in the yard. Let me check. I'll get back to you in the morning. And then I was like, okay, well, how much do you want for him? Thinking he's going to charge me an arm and a leg. And
oh, yeah.
I think it was $250 each and then like another $50 to have him cut out and delivered or something like that.
Yeah.
So like $500 and
delivered
to my house.
It didn't come from an off-road guy. It came from a junkyard owner.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he obviously doesn't know...
Well,
you can get way more for those.
It was like a kid that works for him. And at first he was like, well, now my owner's saying I probably should have charged a little more. Because I guess at first he thought I only wanted like one of them or the something off them or something. And
right.
But so I ended up paying a little bit more on top of it just to make him happy. And
But still.
Yeah, still. It was, yeah, because I think it was less than that, but I ended up paying, I think it was like $500. So
okay, yeah.
That you can't beat that.
No, fuck no, you can't beat that.
And I was lucky enough where I had the cash at the time too, so.
Oh, nice. That's a position I'm never in. I don't know. I don't know what that's like.
Yeah, it was like the stars and the moon aligned, and I was like, yes, I can afford something. And then I kind of just went down a rabbit hole of being able to afford stuff and buy stuff. And
we got a couple different directions to go here. So I want to talk about what the most challenging aspect of doing this project, the XJ project, by yourself has been, while at the same time you're teaching yourself how to weld.
Yes.
So you didn't know how to weld before this, welding experience, and you're not a fabricator. You don't like build shit every day.
Nope.
You're teaching yourself through this process.
Exactly. Never welded in my life until I started working on this Cherokee. I was using my dad's little crappy Lincoln welder that was flux core for a little bit on that.
Uh-huh.
And then I was lucky enough to partner with Yes Welder, and they sent me a welder to do a review on, and they're like,
I know you have a code. What is it?
The Bearded Jeeper for 10% off your purchase.
Perfect. Your ad read voice is absolutely perfect. So the welding, did that come about because you were trying to save some money? You're like, fuck it, I'll just do it myself. Or was that something you had wanted to learn?
I had wanted to learn it at first anyway, and I was kind of thrust into it when I needed, before I even really started doing serious work on the Cherokee, I had major death wobble issue on the JK, and I had to weld something back on. I didn't really trust myself, but I couldn't get anyone, or they were going to charge me $1 million. I'm like, screw it, I have a welder, let's go. And I welded it, and it's held to this day. So
cross your fingers and pull the holding. Trigger.
I'll probably go through and re-weld it because I have a trust for the Dana 30, because in Dana 30 we trust.
Right, still. Yeah. Well, you beat that thing to hell before it actually broke, so fuck it. Put a truss on it and run it.
That's what I'm going to do. People knock it, but I'm still on 37s and a Dana 30, so.
Exactly. The people – I'll say this. The people that – complain about a Dana 30 have A, probably never broken one, and B, don't wheel hard enough to break it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the JK 30 and 44 are basically the same axle. It's just like the center section's different, the same tubes and everything.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So what has been the most challenging aspect of this XJ project so far?
I'd have to say just kind of trying to figure out what to do, because this is my first real big project of doing a big axle swap like this. I've put different axles under vehicles, but it's usually like a bolt-in thing, not like, oh, you have to figure out all this geometry. And it's a huge learning curve that I'm just kind of doing my research, taking my time, asking people that have done it. And I mean, that's how you got to take any project on, because you're never going to be a professional when you start. You have to start somewhere, and too many people focus on, oh, well, if I knew how to do this, or when I know how to do this, just go ahead and do it. Give it a shot. Yeah. Like, as long as it's like, if it's on a trail rig, especially, like, you're not going to do anything that's going to cause serious harm unless you're like welding a full cage or something your first time. Like, I wouldn't trust myself to weld a cage yet, but.
Yeah,
I can weld on some brackets and stuff.
So is that kind of giving you the confidence or the permission to like make all the mistakes you need, since it is going to be a dedicated trail rig?
Yeah, I figure this is the great welding experience that I need. Like, especially I'm doing the frame stiffeners now, and
full set,
because I don't want this to bend. I want it to be a good rig, and this thing, like, that's so much welding on frame stiffeners, and you're like upside down underneath the rig, like getting burns. Yep. Like, I have so many welding burns
that
now.
Shit.
It sucks. I envy people that have, oh, you can do it in a couple hours. You just need a lift. And
yeah, just a lift. Yeah. Fuckers.
Yeah. Full shop of tools, everything.
Yeah. One day I got spoiled though. When I was working at the shop, I had a lift, full set of tools, everything I needed.
Now yeah, I've worked
back to
with
doing
a,
stuff in the garage.
I've worked with a lift once, and it's the most amazing thing ever because you're
right?
Like, oh, everything's eye level. I don't have to like strain my neck to get up here. Like, you just raise and lower it.
Have you ever taken your oil pan off, like all the way down?
On the JK or the
yeah, the JK.
Well, actually, I have to replace the oil pan because it has like a pretty good sized dent in it.
Dude, get a lift. So where I was going with that is taking an oil pan down just on jack stands is the worst. The worst. If you have a place where you can rent bay space, 100% do it, dude.
Well, I've already taken the transmission pan off, which is worse because you have
to get... Oh, it sits on the cross member.
Well, there's... The exhaust goes right over it, and you have to get two bolts in the back that are, like, impossible to get. And then you kind of have to wiggle it, and you're just getting soaked in transmission fluid. It looks like a bloodbath. And because I tried to save one of my transmissions, because I'm on my second transmission now on the JK. The first one crapped
right?
the bed. No, automatic.
And I rode in your Jeep. How do I not know this? Anyway,
yeah,
carry
I was gonna
on.
Say, yeah, because I think what killed it is because Jeep didn't install a transmission cooler in the earlier year JKs.
Okay.
And I went up Mount Washington on like 37-inch tires because we do a Mount Washington climb every year where there's an auto road and we drive up to the top and it's, I don't know, it's like 8 or 9 miles or something. I don't remember, but it's just like such a steep climb, and my Jeep has the stock gear, so it really didn't like it.
Oh,
and
I
it
bet.
Just kind of overheated the transmission enough where it didn't like it, and I got to a point where it would only, I think it, I only had like second and fourth gear or something. It wasn't happy.
Oh,
I was like driving it for weeks and weeks on end, like. Just revving the piss out of it, so I was destroying it even more.
Right, just to get it to catch.
Yeah, I was like, and then it would catch, and you'd feel like, whoop, and it clunk and hit my face on the dashboard. Jesus.
Oh, shit. So, teaching yourself how to weld. This is something, I don't know if you watched the last video I put out about the welder that my buddy gave me, but I'm considering... teaching myself to weld on and putting it on YouTube. Tell me, what's been your experience? You're going to be my deciding factor of whether or not I do it.
Well, let me tell you, YouTube's not as bad as TikTok. I put some of my welds on TikTok, and let me tell you, there's some TikTok welders out there that know
no
everything.
Shit.
Yeah, like they,
I would not
they
have
judge
guessed
you
that.
So much. Yeah. YouTube has been pretty good when I put my welds on there. They're like, oh, okay, you're learning and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think TikTok, because it's larger audience on TikTok, that it's just like there were so many people like, oh, how dare you weld on your frame? Your Jeep's going to crash and burn. I'm like, it's a trail rig, and I'm just welding frame stiffeners on. It'll be all right.
Right.
And like my welds I thought were fairly decent too.
Yeah.
So like... I guess be prepared for a lot of web welders.
Web welders. I'll keep my welds off TikTok then.
Yeah, they were brutal, and I responded to every single one of them though.
Oh yeah,
like,
you have to. It's all that engagement.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey, I'm learning how. Like, tell me what I'm doing wrong. And some of them were like, oh, you have to turn your heat up more. I'm like. Dude, like, the heat was up, like, wicked hot. Like, you can see the penetration. The metal's discolored. Like, I think some of them just like to start shit.
It's the most fucking annoying thing. Like, just leave it alone. If you got some shit to say, I don't know. That's I could go on for, like, 20 minutes on that shit. So let's bring it back to YouTube. Like, full YouTube. That's your thing here. So you're just under 5,000 subs right now, right?
Yep. Just and under 5,000.
How long, you know, we've been talking about doing this podcast for so long. The initial notes that I had said, so you're just under 2,000 subs right now. So you
really, was it that long ago?
Yes, dude. Since we last talked about doing this podcast and I told you I already had the questions, that's how much you've grown. I don't know how long it's been, but.
That's awesome. I don't think
I'm just a piece of shit. Yeah, exactly. So when did you notice like a big spike in your numbers? Because if I remember correctly, your channel was something different before in the beginning, or was it a separate channel?
No, I had a separate channel.
Oh, it was a separate channel. Okay.
Yeah. I had a like bodybuilding, fitness channel when I was younger, mm-hmm. and I didn't know anything about anything. That was back when they had, do you remember those? I think they were called the flip camera. It was like a little square box and it had this little USB that flipped out the bottom of it.
No.
It looked like almost like an iPhone shape. I think they were called the flip.
Huh.
And I walked around with that and. That was before like even vlogging really started, it might have just been starting. And
Casey Neistat was just coming on the scene.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And I dropped that like that. That was when I was real young. You could still find those videos out there, I think.
Oh, we'll have to do a little searching.
Yeah, it's Monstar Fitness, like Monstar Fitness.
I'll find the link and put it in the notes.
And yeah,
I'm looking forward to looking at those.
It's really funny because you see like scrawny me with no tattoos and beard trying to show you how to work out and eat protein, drink protein shakes.
Those are the best videos.
But yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I got my start for passion for filmmaking. Well, that and when I was younger, I was a skater and used to have one of those like big VHS recording cameras that I had gotten at a yard sale, and I'd make little videos of me and my buddies skating. And
do you still have those? I used to do the same thing. I cannot find any of my videos.
No, because like I had eventually switched over to a like an actual handheld camcorder, and it had those like little DV
high eights.
Yeah.
Yes, and, dude.
And I think I must have lost them all or something. I would love to see some of the footage.
Dude, me too.
Probably like 720 or less.
If that.
Yeah.
If 4, that.
480. Yeah, people are worried about shit. 4K. We were just worried about not losing the footage when we put it on the computer.
Right, yeah. If it can at least stay at 540, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
I was thinking about doing this live, and then I was like, I still suck at interviewing people, so let's just do it regular.
Oh, you should have seen me earlier. I interviewed his name's Kyle too. He's the founder of Moose Knuckle.
Okay.
He makes these things. If my camera will stop freezing.
I know what they are. Yeah.
Those things are so cool.
You talked about them on your last podcast or the one before that, I think.
Yeah, the one with Midwest Jeeper there, Brian.
Yes.
Yeah. It's funny because I didn't realize that the truck nuts were illegal in like Florida and a couple other states.
Yeah, I heard that and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm like, are you kidding me? I guess crazy. They're too vulgar for people or something.
I mean, it is a sack, but whatever.
Well, so is the moose knuckle, but.
But that's like an actual testicles.
Yeah, and it's like practical. This thing, it's rated for 10,000 pounds.
Oh, no shit. I thought it was like a vanity thing or aesthetics.
I mean, it is as well, but he wanted to make it practical as well. So nice. And he's coming out with a few new products as well. So you'll have to check out my latest podcast.
Hell yes.
And he shows some of the products off. It's really cool. He actually 3D prints most of his stuff. He has a company 3D print it, send it to him. And he was showing me some of the 3D printed stuff, and it looks like it was a finished product. It's amazing.
Oh, wow.
He even had stuff 3D printed in metal. And I'm like, you can do that?
What?
Yeah, it was insane.
Is it just like a filament that has a certain percentage of metal in it? That's ridiculous.
He said something about it, like, it kind of like atomizes it almost, like kind of like sprays it out, and then it kind of like almost welds it, like with heat.
No shit.
I was like, that's insane. Wow. I mean, we have 3D printers at work and stuff, but nothing. I don't think we have a metal one yet.
Jesus, that's fucking crazy. So,
have you seen that giant 3D printer that you can print a house with?
Is that the one with the concrete that just squirts the concrete? Yeah, I have seen those videos.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, those are dope. So the YouTube, how do you keep people interested in what you're doing?
I think you have to show interest yourself. Mm-hmm. I even notice on some of my older videos, I constantly strive to improve. Whenever I upload a new video, I try to do something new, some like new editing technique or new mm-hmm. transition every time, just to kind of keep myself up with things and learn. Mm-hmm. But you see so many people on YouTube and they're like, "Welcome to my channel. I'm going to be reviewing this."
Right.
And it's like you have to almost be overexcited when you're on camera, because yep. you lose so much excitement through the camera.
Absolutely.
And I like to almost do videos better than other people. Like, a couple of my best performing videos, or one of them at least, is something I saw another video on and I said, "Hey, I can make this better."
Mm-hmm.
Like the wireless remote video for the where you can make keyless entry for your XJ.
Uh-huh.
I saw another video on that and I'm like, "Okay, this is done, but it's crappily done." So right. I took the time and I filmed it better, and that's one of my best performing videos.
Mm-hmm. So, but your most best performing video with 71,000 views.
That thing has exploded lately.
Dude!
I don't understand.
It's WD-40 to remove paint overspray. When I sorted your videos by popularity, I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me? This is the best video?"
Yeah, like,
explain that to me.
I don't understand. Like, it was doing all right. Like, it kind of had the typical, like, tutorial kind of video. Like, oh, it's going to climb a little. But I don't know if, like, YouTube just, like, got a hold of it or something. Like, you can see the graph just, like, all of a sudden, like, skyrocket up. And I'm like, what? And I'm getting, like, comments and comments every day on it. People asking, like, "Oh, will this help with this?" And, like, I have to be careful with the advice because I don't want them just spraying WD-40 on their paint and like ruining their paint or something. So I'm like, "Hey, test it on like a really small, inconspicuous spot first. Like, I don't want you ruining your stuff."
But that's crazy. When you saw that spike, where you just say, "Did you try and figure out what it was, or did you just chalk it up to YouTube?"
I saw it increase a little bit, and I hadn't really paid attention to it, and then I looked at it the other day, and I'm like, "Holy crap, why is this at like 70,000 views now?"
Yeah.
I didn't believe that it had gone that far. It was insane. Like, all it is me showing how to remove spray paint overspray with WD-40 and a Mr. Clean Magic Eraser.
Yeah.
And apparently it's the greatest thing in the world.
I saw that. I was like, "What the actual fuck is going on?"
I actually got inspired to make that video because I saw someone else or a couple other YouTubers got sponsored by WD-40 and made some videos. So I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, if I want to get a sponsorship or something, let me make a video using WD-40 in some unique way and see if WD-40 reaches out. Of course, they haven't yet. But
actually, you're doing a good segue. That's where we're about to head.
There we go.
Is sponsorships. But first, I want to ask an awkward question.
Bring it on.
You don't have to answer it if you don't want to.
Okay.
We can cut this whole thing out. But the question is, how much money do you make from YouTube? The question everybody wants an answer to.
Okay, so recently I've been making, I think this last payment was $170 or $160 or something.
Okay.
Which is pretty decent. I think partially because of that video, I've started making a little over $100 a month, and
that's
just in YouTube.
Yeah, and then you know where I'm going.
I have let me tell you, affiliate marketing through Amazon is the greatest thing ever, because not only do they pay you for if someone clicks on your link and buys that product, but their whole shopping time while they're on your link before they close out that window counts. So if someone buys a dishwasher, you get a percentage of it.
Of that $300 to $400.
Yeah, so I've been making about $100, $20 through Amazon affiliate marketing too.
That's so awesome, dude.
I'm starting to make an actual dent in it. Like,
yeah.
So like, you figure those two alone probably $250-$300 a month right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing with YouTube is it's never a consistent paycheck because you don't know one month to another. But
right.
I'm actually starting to see some payoff, which is
that's
nice.
Awesome. You've put what, 5-6 years into it at this point.
Yeah, I've put a lot of years into it. I haven't seen the growth that some other people have done it, but I'm not necessarily doing it for that. Like,
right.
I just like making videos, and it's kind of helped break me out of my shell.
Right.
I don't know if some people might not notice this, but if you watch my older videos, you'll see my messed up teeth and how like kind of self-conscious I am.
Uh-huh.
Well, I went through Invisalign while still making YouTube videos. So you can tell in some of my videos, I almost have a little bit of a lisp in some of them, if uh-huh. you pay attention. And that's because I was wearing the Invisalign retainers. And now my teeth are fixed. And that was kind of one of my one biggest, like, I was self-conscious about it.
Yeah.
And if you're self-conscious about one thing, it just kind of drags you down.
Oh, yeah, fuck your whole mood up.
What do you think about TikTok, by the way? Do you think Microsoft's going to buy it?
I think they will. I think it would be a smart move for them. I don't think it's going anywhere. Everybody gave me so much fucking shit when I got on TikTok. I think I was one of the first Jeep people that started using TikTok, and everybody was fucking
giving
me grief about it.
I think I added you when I was on there. And I don't think I was too far behind you, but
no, you weren't. You were right behind, but you stayed consistent with it, and you went.
Yeah, like
you're killing it.
I haven't been on in a while. I started producing some more videos last night, but like
mm-hmm.
TikTok, people don't realize if you post like 2 or 3 videos a day. Mm-hmm. I actually told one of my friends this. She's from a running group I'm part of. She makes these cups that are like those coffee mugs and stuff, and
right.
she puts designs on them and stuff. And mm-hmm. I was like, hey. If you want to sell a bunch of these, if you want to help grow your business, start on TikTok. Oh, well, she already had a TikTok, but I was like, mm-hmm. I post 2 or 3 videos a day. She started doing that. She's over me now. I think she's got over 10,000 followers, and
yep.
she just like skyrocketed. Like, there's so much attention there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And people are like, oh, it's just a bunch of fucking 12-year-olds. Well, what do you think happens in 6 years when those 12-year-olds aren't fucking 12 anymore?
Yeah.
You need the brand recognition for when they're older. Anyway, that's a whole nother thing. I don't want to get – we do not have time for that shit. I got tons of opinions on that.
It's that okay. Gary Vee getting in our minds.
Exactly. When you think about it, it's just common sense. Like, kids get older, and if they have been interacting with you since they were 12, when the time comes for them to buy a vehicle, your name is still in their head. Anyway. That's neither here nor there. Okay, so have you been able to leverage your subscriber count to do any brand partnerships or sponsorships through YouTube?
Kind of. I mean, I think they've helped me, but I haven't really. I've had a couple companies where I've reached out to them, and they're like, hey, what's your subscriber count? And it's been too low for what they want.
Right.
But then I've reached out to other companies just asking, like, hey, can I help you out at all? And they're like, yeah, and they immediately look at my subscriber count, and they're like, wow, you have a lot of subscribers. Here, we'll send you this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, cool. I wasn't even asking for free product. I don't want to be that guy that begs for free product. I want to earn it.
Everybody hates that guy.
Yeah. Don't be that guy.
Yeah, exactly. That guy's the fucking worst. So who are you working with right now? Are you like officially partnered with anybody, or are you just doing like one-off videos?
I guess I kind of am with Yes Welder. Mm-hmm. I mean, they send me free stuff and I get an affiliate code and stuff.
Right.
I've gotten 2 winches now from Warn.
But damn.
Well, because I had one and I did a review on it, a very crappy mm-hmm. review, might add, because even people pointed out, I'm like, yeah, I didn't show any video of it actually winching.
Right.
And I broke it when I broke my axle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to get ready for crawling for cops one of the years. And I was like, hey, I really want to run your winch still. Can you send me the parts? to fix it. I'll pay you for them or whatever. And they're like, oh, well, the parts are on back order right now. How about we send you a worn Xeon 10S? I'm like, yes, please.
I mean, okay. Twist my arm.
Oh, it hurts. Twist my arm. Like, I was amazed that they were willing to do that. And then they also sent me, like, they sent me the parts to fix the other one. So now I have two working winches.
That's awesome.
One's
dude.
Going on zip tie, and they sent me a wireless remote too. So
nice.
Yeah, I have a few other like install videos and stuff, and I've gotten discounts on products. I've worked really closely with DCS Lighting. They're the frame mounted rock lights. They work really well.
Yeah.
I was actually amazed with those when I snapped my front axle. One of those got pushed into the frame. I yanked it out of the frame, and it still worked completely fine. Like, the rubber was still intact. I'm like, wow, this is some quality stuff.
Damn. Do you have somewhere on your social that lists your codes, your affiliate codes? I can link to that in the notes.
I don't, but I can always I can send you the affiliate codes.
Yes, do that. Okay, so next thing, if there was one brand that you want to work with, Just one.
Huh.
That you want to work with. Who would it be?
I would have to say Rockcrawler.
Oh, my God. I was thinking that. Fucking nailed it.
Yes. Because I've wheeled with those guys, and they are just really down-to-earth guys. And
fucking hooligans, those guys.
They're just really nice guys, and they don't treat you like you're nothing. They actually they'll wheel with anyone, basically, and they won't be like, oh, well, we're better because we have $50,000 rigs. And
right? Yeah, it's always great to meet people like that. So let's talk a little doom and gloom. What happens if YouTube dies tomorrow? Tomorrow, YouTube is nothing. What are you doing?
Well, I still got Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all of the social medias.
There you go. Are you keeping up with all the other ones?
For the most part, like, I kind of have been slacking off lately, but I've been working lots of hours, so I kind of blame it on that. I've been trying to up my Twitter game because that is my least
followed. I saw your post the other day.
I am just like, I still really don't understand Twitter enough. Like, it's a great place to start conversations and stuff, but I don't understand how to grow on it, really.
Dude, I'll say it. I fucking hate Twitter.
Like,
I hate it.
It's so hard to grow on Twitter.
I hate it. Every time I open it, it's somebody saying some dumbass shit. It's the worst. I fucking hate it. way worse than Facebook. Because on Facebook, I've been able to, like, weed out the people who consistently say dumb shit or just ignorant shit.
Well, and the more stuff you like on Facebook, it starts to show you stuff you like. Like, all I see is, like, half-naked girls and Jeeps and stuff now.
Yeah, Jeeps, most of my stuff is like 90% Jeeps now at this point because I've managed to filter out everything else.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, people will complain about Facebook. Oh, it's Facebook is this and Facebook is that. Facebook is what you fucking make it, first of all.
Yeah, I was going to say, whatever you go looking for, that's what you're going to find.
Exactly.
It doesn't come to you.
Exactly, yeah. So you do all your filming and editing yourself, right?
Yep.
And are you self-taught from the school of YouTube?
Yes, I am.
Do you have your editing program up in one window and YouTube up in the other window?
Yeah,
I
actually started out when I had my GoPro. I tried GoPro Studio. Then I kind of got to the limits of that program, went to iMovie, and then since moved to Premiere Pro.
Yeah.
You could do anything on that.
Exactly. How was that jump from iMovie to Premiere?
It's very
fucking kick your ass.
It's very similar programs, but yeah, kind of. It was a strong learning curve, and now that I know how to do a lot of stuff, it's just like, it's kind of like immediate. And I'm like, oh, you just do this, and
yeah.
I'm still learning stuff.
Yeah,
I'm trying to teach myself After Effects now. That's
dude, I have to use that for work. Oh,
that
my
is
God.
A nightmare.
That
I'm
is
like,
so
what does
hard.
This do?
Maddie Hapoya's former editor has a great channel if you're not already watching
it. I follow him, yeah.
Yeah, he's fucking sick.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I did, like, a little 10-second thing where...
I'm still listening.
It was just, like, writing of a script that said, like, stay bearded, stay jeepin'. and it took me like hours to do, but I was so impressed with this 10-second clip that just writes text on the screen, and I was like, I did that.
Yeah, right? You get so amped up about the littlest thing, and you're like, oh, fuck, it's been 5 hours.
Yeah, it takes a while to learn After Effects.
Yeah, so I know the answer to this question, but as you know, I've been watching your channel for a while, and I've said this to you before, your content is just fucking A1 steak sauce, baby. Do you think that's a natural progression of just filming videos, or is that something you made a conscious decision? You're like, okay, this shit sucks, I need to work on this.
Kind of a little bit of both, because like obviously the more you film, the better you're gonna get. You're gonna continue to grow and improve and learn to do things better and faster.
Right.
But I was seeing so many videos, specifically like Jeep off-roading videos, where it was just like crappy cell phone video, and not to knock that, because my first off-road videos were filmed on my iPhone,
right?
But like they were just shaky, or just like all a GoPro dash cam or something, and I wanted to create something more than that, and right. I don't think I've done the best at it. I see other people that have made way better videos, but I think I've improved, so that makes myself happy. I'm happy with my improvement.
Yeah, you do. You're doing a great job, dude. Okay, so as we're wrapping up, what channels are you consuming on a regular basis? Like, you have the notifications turned on, you watch all their videos, off-road related, not editing or okay. not any of that Peter McKinnon thing you got going on behind you.
So Dirt Lifestyle is one of my most frequently watched. Like he
that's
uploads
Nate,
a video.
Right?
That's Nate. Yeah, he was on Bleep and Jeep for a while, and then
I was thinking about that the other day. Channel. I didn't know. I found out about him when he was with Matt. I didn't know he was like an actual fabricator.
Well, he like taught himself. Like his like actual trade is a plumber.
Oh, and no shit.
He recently quit and became a full-time YouTuber. Like his channel, when he started it, it took off so fast. He's over 100,000 subscribers already.
Are you fucking kidding?
No, like he's I don't even think he's been doing it a year, or maybe a little over a year, and he's
got
wow,
good for him.
Like, but he knows his stuff. I'm like, man, he is just a wealth of knowledge, and he's a nice guy. I've talked to him several times, and
yeah,
like, you ask him a question and he'll actually give you an answer, and sometimes it's a no bullshit answer, like even editing and stuff, because he is a master at filming too.
Yeah, I looked at his Instagram and I was like, wait a second, this dude like build shit.
Yeah, like he took a Dana 60 front axle, and which is normally a driver's side drop, and he cut it up, made it a passenger side drop, and shortened it to fit in his Land Cruiser.
That's ridiculous. Why didn't he just get a Chevy 60 then?
I don't know. I guess it must be stronger or something. I'm not 100% sure. But
Jesus.
I was like, holy
what a wild man.
Crap. And like he explains it, and it's like you can tell he knows what he's talking about, because it's
right.
Not just like this that
Yeah, I saw those pictures. And I was like, damn, that was a tangent. But anyway,
yeah.
So other than Nate, anybody else?
Let's see, who am I watching?
Can you shout out like two or three smaller channels?
One of my buddies that has needed to grow for a while is God, now I'm blanking on his channel name.
Oh no.
Pull
out your phone.
FM Jeeping.
Okay.
Yeah,
you did two with him, right? Two podcasts with him.
Yeah, I did two podcasts with him. His channel is under 1,000 subscribers. I'd really like to try to get him to 1,000.
I think I said to him after that last one you did with him.
He's another Cherokee owner. He's also doing a 1-ton swap. It's kind of a race to see who gets done first. I think he's gonna beat me. he was showing me pictures last night. He's got his front truss like all welded on and painted. So.
He's at 619 right now, and I am subscribed.
Yes,
74 videos.
Yeah, I'm in a group with a group chat with both him and another Nate SWB crawler.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's a good guy. I've talked to him quite a bit.
Yeah, and the three of us kind of we were doing that that like wheeling podcast live stream thing for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
and that kind of ended up filtering out, and nobody wanted to do it. So the three of us have stayed in contact, and we have a group chat, and we kind of shoot ideas off each other for YouTube videos and talking about this or that. So it's really good to have a community like that with you.
Exactly. Some people that understand the editing and the artistic aspect and also can speak Jeep nerd.
Right. A lot of people don't realize, like, how, like, everyone knows, oh, yeah, people say when you film an install video, it takes, like, 10 times longer.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't realize why. It's because you're setting up a camera angle, getting the focus and everything on one shot while you're doing it, especially if your hands are greasy. Then you have to move your camera, set up for the next shot, and try to get the light right so people can see it, and then edit it all so it makes sense. And it's it's difficult.
That's, I steer away from that. I don't have the fucking patience. That's why you'll see I'll like set the camera up and then do whatever the fuck I'm doing.
How's your patience? How's your Jeep coming along, by the way? I see you're making progress.
Money, man. It's really just money, but it'll come. I get paid soon.
You need some sponsors.
Yeah, right.
If I had the money, I'd sponsor you. That's the last fucking
thing I need. No, I was thinking about that the other day, and we'll take a quick tangent, is that I don't know, people that I know are sponsored, like big names, and they're like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. My first thought is, did you use that product prior to getting sponsored, or now are you saying that because you are sponsored? And it just adds a degree of like, I don't even want to have to question it. I just want to be like, oh, I know that dude. I respect his opinion just because I respect his opinion. I don't want to have that, oh, is he sponsored? Is he getting paid to say that? So,
well, so
I have
many
zero
videos,
interest in sponsors.
Yeah, so many videos now, even non-Jeep related, have to say, oh, this video is not sponsored by this if they actually buy it. And I'm like, you shouldn't have to say that. I mean, I'm pretty, when I do my videos and if I get sent like a free welder or a free product, I always try to make sure I let people know, hey, I did get this for free, but I'm going to tell you my honest opinion. If it sucks, I'm going to tell you because I don't want someone based on my review going out and buying something and then not actually or realizing it sucks and they spend all that money where it didn't cost me anything because I got it for free, but I'm steering someone in the wrong direction. It's not right.
Yeah, now they're out money and your relationship with that person is gone or slightly destroyed.
Well, and then they're going to tell...
I'm just not interested in that.
Yeah, they're going to tell three friends of theirs that, like, hey, don't listen to this guy. Don't subscribe to his channel because he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Exactly. Transparency is key.
Yes.
All right, so we are getting near the end. I'm sure you want to get back to your evening and your beer. Are there any final thoughts, any topics we didn't cover that you want to cover?
I don't know. My brain's fried from working so much lately.
Making all that money.
Yeah, well, from those of you who don't know, I work at Ruger, the pew-pew gun company.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put this on YouTube,
you can't say the G word.
Demonetized.
this isn't monetized.
Sun's out, guns out.
Right.
But, yeah, we can't keep anything on the shelves right now. It's just unbelievable. Like, I also work in buying the ammo for the company, and it's just getting real hard to find ammo, and I think it's only going to get worse when it gets closer to the election.
Yeah.
But it's helping me buy Jeep parts and new Ford
there
Raptors, so I'll take it.
Exactly, exactly. Any other shout outs you want to give out to? What's your, plug your welder thing again?
Oh,
your best ad read. Give me your best ad read.
Oh, now you're going to put me on the spot. It's not going to be as good. If you want to save 10% on yeswelder.com, make sure you use the code TheBeardedJeeper. Save 10% on your entire order.
That was perfect, dude.
Yes.
I'm going to get you to do all my ad reads.
I'll do it. I'll do it for free.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious.
I just got a plasma cutter from Yes Welder, too, so be looking for a video on that.
Lucky.
I got to get a bigger air compressor, though. My little tiny pancake one ain't going to handle it.
Yeah, my pancake one doesn't like my 40s or 42s that go flat in 12 hours. Poor thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm dreading having to mount those 40s on beadlocks, like... The other day I helped my buddy. He's putting 1 tons under his JK. Uh-huh. And he's further, he's pretty close to finishing, but he didn't have the money for beadlocks right now, so he just got some cheap steel wheels, and we mounted them all by hand.
That's what I did with mine.
That sucks. A workout.
It like, fucking sucks, dude.
Like, you're, like, just spraying so much lube on there and, like, trying to pry them. Did you
have one of, like, the big bars?
We bought a set of those tire spoons at Harbor Freight, and those work pretty good, but we did bend a couple of them. They're like a dollar or something. They're wicked cheap.
Good old Harbor Freight.
Yeah, don't buy their jack stands. They'll crush you. That's what I have holding up the Cherokee right now, the 12-ton jack stands. Everybody
has a set of Harbor Freight jack stands. It'll only kill you if you're stupid.
Well, I was watching one video. This guy was, like, showing how they failed, and he had to, like, really, like, kick on it and wiggle it and like, to get it to fail. I'm like, yeah I'm not going to be moving that Jeep that much. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, it's
plus,
probably a
you
risk.
Put the tires under it, or
yeah, I always make sure to have something else underneath it.
People are stupid.
Yes.
Right. Anything else?
I just want to thank you for letting me be on your podcast. Finally, we've gotten to wheel together.
Yes. Well, crawling. For I was cops. Passenger. You did the wheeling.
Yeah, that was a complete shit show. The first night run on at Roush.
It just was.
Wasn't good at all. But,
no.
It was fun. It was good getting to talk
they
to you.
They put like stock new drivers in a black blue. I don't know how that happened. It was fucked up.
Yeah, and like people were getting bored, and then that like one person got lost or something out in the woods, or
I don't know.
I wanted to go this year for Crawling for Cops, but because the whole stupid corona thing, if I go anywhere outside of New England and come back, I have to quarantine from work for 14 days.
That's fucking stupid.
I don't get paid, and I have to take a stupid COVID test. I'm ready for this shit to be done.
Yeah, right? Not worth it. They need to stop canceling fucking Ultra 4 things. That's what's really pissing me off.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's your main forte now. You're taking all those amazing pictures. I wish I could. I that's one thing I don't know how to do. I can take videos all day long, but taking pictures, I'm like, nope. The wife's the photographer in that. She went to school for photography, so.
Yeah, well, that's something I've been doing since, like, 2007, so. I got a couple years on you on that one.
Maybe once I'm done learning all my other stuff, I'll learn that.
Exactly. I'll bring you out as a second shooter for video.
There you go.
I'm making the big bucks, when I have a budget for a second shooter.
I'll just do it for free for a while until you can afford. We'll get your get your ranks up, and then maybe down the road you could throw me a taco or something.
Exactly, yeah. All right, dude, well, it was an absolute pleasure having you. Thank you so much. Thank you guys for watching. I really appreciate it. Kyle Loring, the Bearded Jeeper, make sure you go check him out. Facebook, Instagram, not so much Twitter, YouTube mainly. Right, anything else? TikTok.
Gotta have the TikTok.
There you go. All right, guys, thank you so much for watching. Tune in for the next one. I do not know who it will be with. I do not know when it will be. But it will be at some point with someone, I promise. I recorded a 5-hour Zoom with like 20 people that got so fucking out of hand, I can't post it.
Oh, really? That bad?
It's so bad, dude. All right, hold on. We got to do one for the gram real quick.